Welcome back to the Marion County Midday Magazine. I'm Evan Little. This is Let's Talk Pella, and we're sitting down with State Representative Jim Van Engelenhoven. And as usual, Jim's going to fill us in on all the stuff that's happening in the legislature. There are only 10 days left of the session officially before things would have to go into an extended session. And last time we spoke, you said it seems as though both parties are not interested in having that happen again like last year, but there's still a lot to get done. So first and foremost, I'd like to thank you for coming on Let's Talk Pella to fill us in today.
Thanks for having me this afternoon.
So there are quite a few issues still on the table, and there's, like I said, a lot to get done in 10 days. What are some of the major pieces that are moving through in this last piece of this legislative session?
Well, two of the pieces that are stuck in the Senate that I'm well aware of is the education reform bill, as well as the commercial property tax reform. Along with that, on the House side, we have a new bill called the TIF bill, and for people that are in economic development, of course, it's a big issue for them. I've been made aware just not too early this morning that there had been an agreement reached on the mental health policy part, and I emphasize policy part. The finance side of it is still remains to be worked on, and I'm not sure exactly how we're going to work that out. But hopefully, since they've put an awful lot of work in, this has been a two-year progress, and we'll see what happens in the next, like I say, next 5 to 10 days. A lot of things have to happen if we're going to adjourn in that time period.
And beyond the mental health care reform, which has been an ongoing topic this entire session, there is, of course, all sorts of other financial reforms that are sort of in the works. Both the Senate and the House are coming to terms with these. Could you give us a brief overview of TIF reform and a couple other topics?
TIF reform is tax increment financing. That's what it stands for. And when it was originally designed several years ago, it was designed to take the issue of the blighted areas in town and be able to lower the taxes on them to the developer. If somebody wanted to put their own money into an area of blighted area of town, then the city, or in this case maybe the county, but generally speaking the cities would forego the taxes on them in some fashion, however that was worked out. There's numerous ways how they would work that out. The idea was, of course, when you do that, you take revenue away from schools and other entities as well. The idea was is that originally the bonds that would be issued for 8 years. Generally speaking, they would be paid off without new revenue. That being said, then the idea was to reevaluate that property and let the schools and the city and whoever was obtaining that revenue enjoy that new revenue. Well, what's happened over the years is obviously when they wanted to develop another new piece of property in town, they use that revenue without, shall we say, public input into it. And it's just gotten a little more out of hand every year, and there's been groups formed within bigger cities. And we have several towns in the state of Iowa that are 100% TIF. And so a lot of that revenue is not going to our schools, which is, of course, increasing property taxes to the schools. It's a vicious circle that's gotten out of control. Originally, it was a good toolbox for the city and developers, but it's been abused. And I've said early on that they should sit down and come forward with a plan on their own, because otherwise the plan that comes out of the State House may not be to their liking.
And potential reform actions would include, I assume, limitations on how much TIF could be issued in an area and that sort of thing?
There's a lot of things on the table on that issue, yes. Limiting the amount of the area that could be TIFed, more sunset clauses put in the fact that the bonds sunset at 8 years or 10 years, and they have to have public input, possibly even a public vote. That's been talked about. So there are numerous things that are being talked about. We'll just have to wait and see as we progress down the road just exactly what is all put in the bill.
And it seems like we've worn out the subject, but maybe we haven't. The state budget, it still seems that there's still a little bit of contention between the two chambers, the Senate and the House, as far as what it should be. But the deal is approaching closure. You're getting pretty close to having everything done, right?
I would say we're getting closer. I think that when you talk about the House and the Senate, yes, there is a differences as well, but we have to remember that the governor has to be willing to sign the bill as well. So I think that the governor has indicated that he would like to see a little bit more money spent in certain areas. I think the House is standing pretty firm on the total dollars that we're going to spend. We do not want to spend more than we take in. How we spend it, I think we're flexible on that to a point. So we'll have to see, like I said, here in the next 10 days, and I don't want to wear that comment out, but a lot has to happen in the next 5 to 10 days.
All righty. It sounds like you're not looking to go into an extended session as last year did, and it sounds like you're trying to get things done.
I would say that's a fair statement. I think from what I'm talking to minority party as well as majority party members that I have a good working relationship is that everybody wants to get their work done and try to get out of there in the next 10 to 12 days.
Once again, Jim, I'd just really like to thank you for coming on Let's Talk Pella.
Thank you for having me.
Once again, this has been Let's Talk Pella. I'm Evan Little. You're listening to the Marion County Midday Magazine. Stay tuned. Your Weather Eye forecast is coming up next on KNIA KRLS.